Welcome to the latest episode of What's the Matter, the podcast where we talk about anything and everything with a psychology twist. My name's Em Drake, and as usual, I'm joined by my glamorous co-host, Mr. Dad. How are you, Dad?
I'm good. Very good. Thank you, Em. You well?
I'm wonderful, thank you.
Nice to be with you again on
the podcast, rather than
remotely on the podcast.
Do you know what? Nice segue. I don't think you meant to do that, but as you...
I'm a natural.
You are a natural. You're a born star. But speaking of which, yes, when we first started What's the Matter in Series 1, we were amid a pandemic. We were in a lockdown. I was in my home, you were in your home. We were on Teams. And yeah, we weren't together. And that's really leading us into a big topic that we want to discuss today, which is that there is ever increasing research to suggest off the back of the pandemic and going back to this new way of life, that the way that we are living, we're really lacking in something that's having a huge impact on our mental and emotional well-being and our overall happiness. And the research is suggesting that is connection.
Absolutely.
So, I wanted to just put that over to you and just sort of say, you know, what you know several studies that talk about this. So what's your kind of view on connection and why is it so important?
Well, some of the discussion for us today has really been born out of, I guess, over the last couple of years for me. And I'm always looking to learn and grow, so I read avidly and I love podcasts, etc. these days. And I like searching for research, sort of new conclusions that we can learn from mentally and emotionally. And I was quite gobsmacked when I've found more and more of this information just about how hugely important connection is for us as a species. And I think there's a number of things I'll reference here. One is I am rereading an amazing book called Lost Connections by Johan Hari. Some listeners today will be aware of that book, others won't. If it's not a book you've come across before and you're interested, fabulous book. Really well written, incredible content in it around what's really impacting us in the modern world, around our mental, emotional well-being and our general sort of happiness and that sort of thing. And just very, very briefly, if I just talk about that book just for a millisecond or two, just because it's important for the context of today. The author of the book, Johan Hari, suffered from depression many, many years ago. And like many other people that suffered from depression then and now, we look to the medical sector, to pharmaceuticals companies to help us with that. So there's a whole model built up around how we might treat depression, although there's some new thinking around that now. He looked at some of that and came to conclusions that actually not everybody, but a lot of people that are suffering from depression and then are given medication to help them with that, that helps them to alter the chemical balance in their brain for a period. But it's really common that after taking some of those drugs for a period of time, they then need to up the dosage because it wears off. It sort of wears off and they up the dosage, fine for a while, then the impact wears off and they up the dosage again. And that's a little bit of a journey plan that some people are on. And obviously that can help you, that's useful. That was his experience. So he started a journey of discovery around, well, you know, is it about chemical imbalance in the brain or is it something else? And he talks about in the book that actually the bigger impact of us emotionally, or whether we're depressed, whether we're not, whether we're happy, whether we're sad, is not about a predetermined chemical imbalance in the brain. It's about how connected we are with a whole number of things. And he defines 9 things. And I'm not going to talk about all those 9 things, but there are 3 big things that really jump out for me around that book and the amazing content that he's created in that book, along with some other scientific experts around the world, is a connection with each other.
Yeah.
How hugely important that is, and that's what we're going to touch on today. A connection with nature. And one of the things we rediscovered through the COVID piece and lockdowns was just how damn good being in nature is for us. We need that. Being connected with purpose. So having, you know, meaningful reasons to get out of bed and go and live a life ultimately. So, you know, some or many people that are in a state of depression or feeling emotionally, mentally and emotionally low or not at their best, it can sometimes be because they don't have great connection with some of those or one or two of those 9 things. And that can include relationships, connection with people, maybe lack of purpose in life, and you spend a lot of time indoors, you don't get out into nature. So to just to, so that really struck me, the amazing work that he has done to write that book. So it's well worth a read for anybody. So if we just, if we major on that connections piece around us, around human beings and relationships, some people will be aware of the longest human study that has ever taken place, and it continues to this day. It is now an 85-year study of human beings. And normally studies are about like 4 weeks or 6 weeks or a few months at best.
Even like longitudinal studies might, I think other ones might be like 20 years or so.
Exactly. This is this continues.
Yeah.
And the people leading the studies have obviously changed over the years, because the people that started them are no longer alive, but it continues. And it's often known as the Harvard study. Mm-hmm. And just again, very, very simply, way back into last century, so 85 years ago, a whole group of young men were selected to be part of this study that were either at or going to Harvard University.
Right.
Generally speaking, without, and I was a bit generalizing, they were privileged young men. They came from privileged backgrounds, privileged in terms of the resources they have, and privileged to be going to Harvard. Alongside another group of young men around the Boston area that were the other end of the spectrum, basically came from difficult backgrounds, families with a reasonable or high level of dysfunction in them, a lack of resources, etc., etc. And obviously the study has worked over 85 years so far, so those men have grown up, they've married, had children, and all their families have become part of the study. So there is now balance between male and female in that study, age groups and everything else, and the study is sort of continue. And it's the study really has really been looking at what is it that massively impacts, you know, how successful those people are, how happy they are, how healthy they are, so particularly happiness and health. And again, me having been introduced to that study and looking at that study, and you can get it online, you know, anyone can go and have a look at it. It's quite astonishing that despite the varied backgrounds that people come from, despite the varied lives that those people have lived on that study over 85 years, the biggest predictor or determinant of how happy and healthy those people are is how connected they are in their key relationships.
Yeah.
So if you put that alongside the work of Johann Hari in his famous book and lots of other tests and research that's going on, and the fact that, I guess, almost in the Western world as well too, if we think about, and I don't want this to be a political podcast, but if you think, I can remember obviously the Thatcher years in Britain, around the evolution in much of the West around a more individualistic model for living. Be your best, be successful, get there, doesn't matter if you trample on people on the journey, make it happen. So it's thinking about you, where you want to go to, etc., and how you're going to get there. As a more individualistic model for living, which was massive in the 80s and still continued through the 90s and into where we are now. You start to look at those things and think, actually, it's not just COVID which has had a big impact on how well we connect with each other. It's almost socially, the social model that we've evolved in the West around more individualistic approach has also been gnawing away at that for decades. And we're now in this place where we are, off the back of COVID, of, you know, in COVID we couldn't hug each other, we had to stay at home, and all that other paraphernalia. And we have, you know, bunches of school children now that have missed a load of development because they weren't at school. We're now realizing just how hugely important for our mental well-being and functioning and health just being connected with each other is.
Yeah, and I think even to grow as a person, I think it's in Think and Grow Rich where they talk about kind of reaching he talks about it at the highest level of being a genius sort of thing. You can't do that on your own because you need other brain power around you, other people, other experiences to feed off of, because the brain needs stimulus always. And we find it or we create it if we haven't got it in front of us. And if you're not getting that from people, I just don't think the brain can be as happy and healthy when it's only on its own.
In isolation.
Yeah. And I mean, just to go to a personal experience here, I've just made a really big decision, as you know, with my marketing business to get an office. because I started it in the pandemic, or just before the pandemic. I was working from home, and that was a functional choice because I had no money in my business to start the business and, you know, keep costs down and do all these things. But it's been about 3 years now.
And you've done incredibly well, but working from where you live, as lots of people do now, don't they?
No, they do. I think this is, for some people, there will be, you know, because this could go into a whole other thing of hybrid working and, you know, what should we do, and that work-life balance versus always going into the office and things like that. But for me, I as you were just talking, and this isn't really where I planned to take some of the conversation here, but I started to find I wasn't as happy as I know I could be. I didn't quite know why. And if I think about it, like, I wasn't miserable or anything, but if I think about it, I was spending most of my day entirely on my own, in the same four walls. I was speaking to people all the time, but it's digital, it's on Zoom, it's on Teams, where you don't have that eye contact. The conversation is great that, you know, I could be in Essex and I'm speaking to somebody in Leicester and I can see them. It's great that that's possible, but it's not the same as being with somebody, even to the point of shaking someone's hand when you say hello. You know, you don't have that contact. And obviously I've just made this decision to go and work in an office, and there's lots of people co-working in there, and I've only been doing it for 2 weeks, and I feel like
you're energized.
I feel so different because I see other human beings. And obviously I would have seen other people at the gym and I would still go out in the day, but like, actually what working hours is the majority of my day. So it's just interesting as you're talking about that, because the connection doesn't always necessarily need to be some, you know, soppy and you're cuddling, and it's I think that's still important, but actually it's just about being with other people and having conversations of how are you, what are you guys up to today, and you get open up to so many more opportunities when you are with people and you're in another environment. So again, it's just an interesting point to add, because even just personal experience, I feel like a different person right now than I did 2 weeks ago before I signed on that office space.
Yeah. Well, I think you know, some people will be listening, and some people might be listening and thinking things like, well, you know, I'm an introvert. I don't want to be with loads of people all the time. I don't want to be gregarious. I don't want to be overtly social. And of course, you know, we all have different personality types. There are extroverts, there are introverts, there are people who are shy, there are people who are joke tellers and storytellers, and yet we're all different. But whichever of those categories you personality-wise think you fall into, we all need connection. And the core reason we need connection is because we are a pack animal, we're a social species, and nature, this is part of our natural evolution, chemically, nature rewards us when we are connected with other people. Because if we're connected with other people, it means we're part of, we're connected to a group or a person or a bunch or a team or a department, and we're more likely to survive. It goes right back to our survival drive as a species,
I suppose, in a feeling of togetherness.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, we work in schools, don't we? Mindspan works in schools as well as public sector organizations, private sector organizations, and sport and whatever else. And obviously I'm finding some of the work with young people in schools is really starting to show just how damaging the I don't want to keep talking about the pandemic because it's history a bit now, but how damaging that period was for young people, many of them, because they couldn't go to school. So if they're not at school, they're not in that space as a young person of communicating, of dealing with arguments with their peer groups and learning how to communicate and learning how to function together and all that stuff. So they spent time in more in isolation. And they were, many of them, because the schools put this on, were, you know, having digital learning, which was convenient. It was meaning those young people were missing significant contributing factors to their development as young people. We have clients, you know, we work as a business with public sector clients, and some of those public sector clients have got a really strong hybrid working model, which is fine, and that suits lots of people. A lot of people like it. But I think we need to be, this is just me flagging this up. I think we, when I say we, the human race, we need to be very careful we don't slip into mostly of that.
Yeah.
Mostly that. Because yes, it is brilliant that in theory, if, you know, you or I got our phone up or a screen up now, we could press a couple of apps, and you know, we could be talking to Ollie, your brother, or you know, Ollie, my son, in Saudi Arabia.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. That's nice. You can see each other and you can have a bit of a conversation, a little bit of connection. But that isn't the same as this.
No.
And, you know, I often talk about this in some of our programs, you know, when we're talking about relationships and connection. You know, it's not uncommon in the modern world where families exist in the same house but don't live together.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of, they're physically quite close to each other, but there's not a lot of connection.
No.
You know, even if I go back to when I was younger, in my own family, when I was growing up, you know, you had a TV with three channels on it, not even a remote control. So if you're going to watch TV as a family, you discussed what you'd watch together on the same TV in the same room. Such as the convenience of modern life and technology, we could all be in the same room in the same house watching different things on on an iPad, on a TV, on a phone. We don't have to share that anymore. And I think so, you know, this is a big comment to make, but socially we need to be really thoughtful and careful just how much we evolve this further evolve this individualistic style of living, because we will probably have more and more mental and emotional dysfunction in our society. It's a big topic today, isn't
yeah,
it?
I know.
In our society, if we carry on down the road of some of where we're going, and technology is a big impactor of that. And
yeah.
we use technology. We're using technology now.
Yeah.
But if we go so far down this road of technology does everything for us, and we don't need to mix, we don't need to gather together, we will be a very sick society, I think.
Yeah.
And I think it's just worth us flagging that up, even if some of the language we're using, which was quite impactful, is, yeah, what are we doing in our businesses?
Yeah.
What are we doing in our families? And get a little bit scared by some of the direction that where we're going, and say, okay, I can't change the world myself. What we can decide ourselves is, how can I dedicate more time to connecting with you, with Ollie, to mum, to my friends, to make sure we spend good quality time together? It's not just functional and transactional. A lot of communication is transactional today in today's world. But it's a very different feeling for me delivering a session on Teams or Zoom to a group of people in another part of the country or even locally. You can do that and I can still hopefully inspire people. But you don't feel it.
No, there's
you don't feel it.
Yeah, there's a huge difference. I mean, I remember doing like one of my first big Mindspan talks, where I was doing a series of lunchtime 45-minute sessions with a big sort of tech company in London, and all of them were online, which is absolutely fine because they're a global company, so I had people coming in from, I think there was people from the US, there was the UK, or there's lots of different locations. Now, I hadn't really done that much delivery at that point, although I obviously knew the content inside out, and I'd been practicing. Now, I know that there was the best part of 300 people on one of those sessions. Nobody had a camera on. I can't see anybody. I can only see my reflection. So I did not feel like I'd spoke to 300 people because I couldn't see them. So
it's so hard, isn't it?
It's so hard.
So hard to communicate.
There was points when I thought, are there people on this? Like, I knew there were.
Am I talking to myself?
But like, I sort of actually kept coming out of myself during this talk of, you. It didn't even feel real.
Yeah.
But it was like this big moment for me. But so other than being introduced by the person that had organised the event, I couldn't see anybody. I could just see a small number at the bottom of the screen and predominantly myself back at me, which was very weird.
I know at the end of that, you got loads of thanks.
Yeah, I got loads of thanks.
Like, oh, that's great, but the experience was weird.
It was as if it didn't happen.
Yeah.
It was as if I'd just practiced in front of the mirror and been like, I can't explain it. It was very strange. And then fast forward to kind of actually doing them in real life when we'd come out of COVID, I was so... I actually was really nervous and so much more aware of myself. And the thing is, I was doing it to a much smaller group than 300 people, but I was there and it felt more real. And I guess it's that kind of the digital side of things. It is brilliant, but it's really disconnected.
It's
because it's convenient and it's functional, but it is different because to me, as I said, I had these experiences, whereas as if they didn't happen because I couldn't I couldn't see 300 people.
You were getting no feedback. You were communicating, getting no feedback.
Other than like these little emoji reactions, sometimes there'd be little hands clapping up the screen and stuff.
You're probably going, oh, thank goodness for that.
Oh, someone's on. Yeah. Oh, someone's listening. Yeah. But that was very strange. I think, yeah, it's kind of like the digital side of things. It does take you away from reality. Mm. And also, recently, my beloved fiance were having a discussion this week about quality time versus spending time together. Because we, obviously, as I said, now just signed this office, and he wasn't home all the time anyway, but because he's self-employed as well. But we would cross paths a lot. And so obviously I'm not...
Well, he'd be going out and you'd be coming in and
yeah,
like
and we'd
that,
sort
yeah.
of pass each other a lot. I'd have more points of contact throughout the day, although they would really be like, oh, what time are you finishing? Oh, what time are you going to this? What should we have for dinner tonight? Okay, see you at 7. But we've both sort of kind of come back from our working days and obviously spend the evening. We have dinner together every night. We always eat together. We'll have something on Netflix. And like you just mentioned about those three channels on the TV, half the time... For Reese and I, unless we're into a box set, it's background noise where we'll put something on, but perhaps I might still be going through emails or checking things on my phone. He's got his laptop on his lap, and it's almost, again, a bit like it's not quality time.
No.
And we sort of had this discussion around just really making sure we have something every single week, even if it's walking up to the high street and getting a coffee, where no digital, you know, devices in our hands. We're just present with one another, and we're just really talking and having quality time. Quality time doesn't need to be, you know, something expensive or going out for a lavish meal. It's taking yourself away from all these. There are so many digital distractions for us these days. It's just taking them away and trying to bring back that connection where, you know, you're even just holding hands as you walk up to the high street and whatnot. It's different versus being in the same room watching something on TV and just being in a bit of a trance, really. So to ask you, go back to that study you mentioned, or that you might, this may have come out of the book that you're reading, but what does it talk about? Obviously, yes, we need connection, but what is happening in our brain when we don't have it?
Well, there are it's fascinating because we've this will come on a future podcast, the whole kindness piece. And I'm sort of in the space personally in terms of my own learning around just coming across so much fabulous quality research, fabulous quality information around, I call it being more human. Mm-hmm. And there's a whole discussion about AI, isn't there, at the minute, around what's going to happen, and are we going to have, I think, is
going to take over.
Yeah, is artificial intelligence going to wipe us out, and all that sort of stuff. But you know, we engage in some AI in the business in terms of trying to get our content out to people. So it's, you know, it's the balance of using it in a way that's helpful. But if we're not careful, we're sort of going to lose our human essence because everything gets so functional, so digital. We're screen engaging so much of the time. We need, because nature has evolved within us inbuilt chemical rewards when we connect, as I said earlier, because it's nature. Our basic intention or basic drive is to survive as a species, is to procreate and continue the species. That's what we're deeply wired or pre-programmed, whatever word you want to use, to do. We don't survive very well as a species in isolation.
No.
Because it gets lonely. Because actually, if you think about how we've evolved as a species, if one of us is ill, you need someone else to help you.
Yeah.
If you can't walk, you need someone to try and go and get you something. So they're just examples. Now, if you're on your own and you're ill, there's no one around.
I would argue near London and other cities, you have Deliveroo that can bring you anything, which is also
But then you still need another human being, don't you? You need another human being.
Actually get it. Yeah.
But the point is that I'm just talking about real basic nature within us. So, you know, when we treat each other well, when we connect with each other, not at the surface level of the digital space, that's all surface connection. That's not what this is about. It's deeper than that. It's you and I looking at each other. It's you and I getting under the skin of each other. It's me really understanding where you're at the minute. It's you knowing I'm having a difficult day and you come to my rescue. It's, you know, all of that stuff. That's real basic, you know, treating each other well. Nature rewards us. It rewards us chemically. It feels good. You are kind. We'll talk about this later. If you're kind to someone, you get a surge of oxytocin, you feel good. If you're kind to someone, they get a surge of oxytocin, they feel good. If someone observes you being kind to someone or being generous, they get a surge of oxytocin. Nature's rewarding us. That's why we feel good when we treat each other well. Conversely, when we don't connect with people, when we exist in isolation, or even when we're not very nice to each other, that doesn't feel good. No. Even if you've had an argument and you say something that you really shouldn't have said in the moment because you're angry, you won't feel good about that in 30 seconds time, because nature doesn't want you to behave like that.
Yeah.
Because you won't survive as a species if we're in conflict all the time, or we're all existing on the side of a mountain on our own together. So yeah, it is a really fascinating space at the minute, Em, with all of this, and it's a real, selfishly, it's a real part of my growth and evolution and learning more. It relates to stuff that we teach around relationships, but I think what's coming across to me with where a lot of this stuff is coming from is, yeah, it's not just nice to be connected.
Yeah.
It's essential for our health and well-being to be connected. So I guess, as we're raising this for people today and people listening, is just, you can sort of think, well, it's interesting, but what can you do with this? Well,
yeah. What's the action?
Yeah, what can we do is, well, we need to place more value upon and put more emphasis upon and put more effort and energy and focus on spending time together. Like you said, eat together properly. Don't all sometimes share. You might all want to watch the same stuff on the TV, but all the time, but do some stuff together, Go for a walk together. Have a proper conversation. Be genuinely, genuinely interested in each other. Be curious. Make time to really listen and be patient with each other. These are just scratching the surface of the sort of things we need to do to be more connected. But if we realize connection is that fundamental, it's not just a nice thing, it's important for health, well-being and survival. And we're not just making that up. There's an 85-year-old study that'll tell you that.
Yeah.
And it's the longest study in history, as far as we know. So we're not just making this up. This is important stuff. And I think it's incredibly extra important because of what we've come off the back of in the last few years. And even decades and decades before that, almost what governments, American and British governments, were driving in terms of a model for living, the more individualistic model, all of that's contributed towards where we are today and the COVID thing and digital evolution, etc. We can use the digital space to help us, but don't get lazy with it. We need to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, if I'm with a client and we have an amazing conversation, I come, we've really connected. That feels good.
Yeah.
I know when you and I, we have some big discussions and debates psychologically and emotionally sometimes, and the time flies, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's like you think, where does that hour go?
I think we were once sat on the drive after coming back from a Mindspine training event, and
we'd both been on it, hadn't we?
Yeah, we'd both been on the Mindspine training event, and I think, I'm not sure, it was about an hour's drive or so back from the event to where you and Mum live. And we'd had these 3 days of intense kind of, learning and sharing, and it was really transformative for obviously the people on there, but even ourselves, being in the room together. And then we were just having this really long chat and pulled up at the drive and continued talking. Now, I thought maybe we were sat on the drive for about 10 minutes. And then after a while, Mum comes out to the car and is like, what's going on?
Are you coming in?
Yeah, I think we'd been about 45 minutes.
Yeah,
just
if not an hour.
Time just, we could put the world to right and probably talk for a really long time. But I guess just going to sort of that digital connection, because it is great the world can connect us in, to people in other countries and all these other locations. But like,
it's at a surface level.
So even like social media, again,
don't get me started.
Yeah, I know. We have got a whole episode in the last series of social media, the good, the bad, the ugly, because I have very conflicting views on it, I think as do you. But obviously there is the side where you can be connected to people. But again, it's only to the amount that the person wants you to see, isn't it? Because it's still a level of what they want their followers to see. And it's great to celebrate those things and whatever that person's up to. But yeah, going back to sort of actually making the time for your friends or the people that matter to you, doing that in person is so important. And you mentioned oxytocin. For those of you that don't know, it's also kind of called the hug hormone.
Mm. It's a feel-good
hormone of you actually, being with people. And I made a decision, because I've always had... I think people assume I'm very sociable because I like talking, and I think I...
Hang on. She loves talking.
I do. I wonder where talking. I get it from. I'm sure your airtime's been higher than mine on this. But I do love talking, and I love being with people. I equally really like time on my own.
So good that I like listening, isn't it?
Yeah. I think that's my line. But I used to have quite a big circle because I had lots of friendships in lots of different places. But... I made the decision to make my circle smaller for many reasons, but those people that are in it, that I really give them my time. Mm. And I've definitely not been good at that during the pandemic and, you know, obviously all those other things and being a new business owner, but sort of coming into this year, I'd say the last sort of 12 months really, I could feel how important those friendships were to me and wanting to make sure I had quality time. So even if it's, do you know what, I'm not going to go to the gym on my own, let's go together and we do that and we go for a coffee afterwards, and how great it feels to just have that sort of, you know, even if you're only able to be with that person for 2 hours, you talk and you just share things that you never would if you're WhatsApping or you're on a FaceTime or you're trying to fit it in somewhere and you're not actually together. So no, I completely agree, and obviously you're saying that study suggests it.
And there's more than that study as well, Em, to be honest. And it is, I think, an interesting thing, you know, for anyone listening to sort of maybe even go and do off the back of this is to really challenge yourself, and maybe even just get a piece of paper and a pen and just sit down and make a list of the relationships that are most important to you in your life. And it can be, you know, it can be different numbers for different people and different type, you know, whether that's your family, your other half, your family, key friends, or maybe even key workmates, I don't know. So just make a list of the people that you say to yourself are the most important to you, or the really valued relationships you think you have. And then just look at each of those relationships and each of those names and just really challenge yourself about how connected you really are with that person. Really connected. And what I mean by that is, sometimes our relationships can be very transactional, mm-hmm. and I know couples even fall into that. You know, okay, you put the bins out, you do the washing, you do that, you know, because we're trying to get organised in life and get efficient. But sometimes, and the digital space really impacts this, you know, in a way. But we are looking to be efficient with our time and with our interactions. That the whole thing can just get incredibly transactional. Just I don't know. You, maybe even out of 10, just list those relationships that are most important to you, and just to make up a scale. Out of 10, how really connected and close are you with that person? And just run that through, those names. And it'll tell you really how connected you are with the people that you say mean the most to you, and the relationships are that important. And if the out of 10, you know, the rating you give about your level of connectedness with that person isn't that high, there's a red flag there about... Yeah. If you say it's important, that relationship, you need to probably do something about it. You need to start to invest in it more. You need to maybe arrange to get together more than you do, and not just a phone call. You know, that can help, or a Teams chat or a Zoom chat, but get together. Because it's not just good for the relationship. What we're seeing now is it's good for your health.
Yeah.
That's the point.
And even to take that task maybe a step further. So yes, put that sort of rating on it, but asking yourself and writing down, like, what have you actually done to connect to that person? Because there might be some really good people in your life that make a lot of effort. Are you relying on them to do that, or are you doing exactly that back? So yeah, I think sort of to kind of bring this to a close and sort of leave it with, you know, what are you doing to be connected to the relationships that matter to you? And, you know, is it enough? Because psychology suggests, to no matter your background, no matter your upbringing, no matter what you material items you've got, the successes you have in your career, the most important thing, or one of a key factor to kind of affect our happiness, is connectedness
and our mental and emotional well-being. And that's a huge topic in today's world, because we know, you know, there's big challenges for people's mental and emotional well-being in our society. More people are stressed, more people are anxious, more people are depressed, and it's serious. Suicide rates in men are astonishingly high within a certain age group, and most of that is people who aren't feeling very connected. They're feeling lonely, they're feeling isolated for a whole variety of reasons. So Yeah, it's great for the relationship itself to invest. And I always use that word invest in the relationship. And hopefully the other person invests back and make yourself really connected in a whole variety of different ways. Sharing experiences, being interested in each other, being curious. But it's not just about the relationship. That's not the only reason for doing it. It's for your health and your well-being.
Shall, for your health and well-being, shall we end this episode on a high five?
Let's do it.
At least it was a good one.